The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right. Good evening, everyone. This is End Time Headlines. It is approximately 5:30 Eastern Time on this Monday, February 17th. I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And we want to welcome you to the broadcast today for this Monday segment. We've got a lot of stuff to cover, guys. We're going to try to get this knocked out in about 30 minutes, but we want to keep you updated. I'm going to try to follow along here with you on Facebook as well, so I can observe and read the comments here and interact the best that I can. So again, we want to officially welcome everybody to the broadcast. We want to welcome our podcasters that are listening, our YouTubers, and of course, all of you guys on Facebook Live. We're going to be dealing with some trending topics today on this Monday, February 17th. And we're going to get right into this, guys. The first story we're going to talk about, this is a very tragic story that's coming out of Sugar Land, Texas. By now, many of you guys have already read this, heard this, or may know this. I know we broke this story last night on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org and endtimeheadlines.com, and we got a lot of response. There was even some individuals that privately messaged me that knew more about this situation than even what that were being reported on. So I'm not going to get into details regarding that, just for wisdom's sake and for the privacy of the individuals. But nevertheless, the story is an ongoing investigation where police are investigating what looks to be a murder-suicide, and this is the death of a Richard Logan. According to sources, he was a former pastor and CEO of a faith-based anti-poverty nonprofit ministry called Attack Poverty. Again, according to local authorities there in Texas, this former pastor was found dead with a self-inflicted gunshot wound to himself. But it was later reported that his wife and son were also found shot dead in the family's home. And then we heard there was another update that came that the daughter there was an attempt to strangle her, but somehow, I don't know the full details of this. She either escaped the event or she got away from this, or somehow she did survive. She was not killed, but nevertheless, this is just another tragic story that we had a report on. According to local affiliates there at KPRC, police officers went into the home of the 53-year-old to perform a, quote, welfare check after law enforcement there in a local county there informed them that Logan's body was found with what appeared to be a single self-inflicted gunshot wound on the property of a company called TAS Environmental. Police Chief Eric Robbins went on to say that no one answered the door. When they eventually gained access to the home, they found the bodies of Logan's wife, Diana, as well as their 11-year-old son, Aaron. The couple's daughter, I believe her name's Ambrielle, who is the only surviving family member, was away at college. Now, but there was another report that said something different. So again, we don't officially have reporters there that can give us the full story. Again, this is still a developing story. When we know more about this, we'll give this to you. But guys, let's not miss the point of this. The enemy is on attack. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. I know a lot of people was attacking this man because of what he did to his family. And I get that that's the humanity side of us. The flesh and blood of us wants to say, how could a man kill his own family? How could he kill his wife? How could he kill his son? And then turn the gun on himself. And people, there was all kinds of, comments and statements that was made on social media outlets across the web regarding this man and I don't want to get into that, but I want to focus on the spiritual aspect of this. Suicides, dealing with pastors, leaders in the body of Christ, is on an all-time high. Just like when we reported this article, I mentioned the author and evangelical pastor, Rick Warren, who many people know the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. He lost his youngest son years ago to a suicide at the early age of 27 years of age. And then the entire Christian community was rocked to the core last year when the news broke of the megachurch pastor in Southern California named Jared Wilson, who had been a pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship Church for at least 18 months, who also took his life. So we're talking about the guys, the soldiers on the front line are under attack. So I'm not going to, you know, I could form an opinion and speculate on what could have happened, what should have happened, how could it happen on this story that we're talking about today of this pastor who, again, some say, do we know that he is the one who killed his family? Could this been a setup? I don't know. I'm only reporting. But what I am saying is, I echo the words of the Apostle Paul. Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion going to and fro, seeking who he may devour. And he's going for the leaders. He's going for the high-ranking soldiers on the firing lines. Because if you take out the generals and you take out the leaders and you take out those that are leading their flocks, what kind of psychological, emotional, and physical effect is that going to have on the rest of the church? So we need to pray for our, listen, pray for your pastors. Pray for those in leadership. Pray for those that are in any type of leadership, whether it be a worship leader, whether it be a youth leader, whether it be a children's pastor, whether it be an associate pastor or a senior pastor. Pray for those in authority. Why? Because, guys, if you think the church is under attack, think about the level of attack that comes against leadership. And I'm going to tell you, I can be the first to testify that the Lord has entrusted our ministry with great influence. We're talking hundreds of thousands of people that the Lord has entrusted us with influence of sharing the gospel, sharing news and sharing information and equipping and encouraging. Guys, you don't think that puts a target right on my back? This is why every single day, I have no shame in asking for everyone and anyone to pray and intercede and travail for myself and for my family and for this ministry, because I understand the principle of what I'm telling you today. So this is a very tragic story. And continue to pray for the family. Continue to pray for this daughter. My goodness, I can't imagine what this daughter is going through. You know, we talked about Kobe Bryant. And we talked about, you know, him dying. And the whole entertainment industry, the sports industry, the media industry. Everything came to a screeching halt when Kobe Bryant and his daughter was killed in that helicopter crash. And everyone began to talk about how I can't imagine what his wife and the rest of his family is going through, knowing that the father, you know, that Kobe's not coming home and the daughter's not coming home. But then again, I got angry because nobody was mentioning the other individuals in the helicopter. What about their families that were impacted? They're not coming home. So I can't imagine. And then we've got the story. I didn't plan on reporting on this. I didn't have this in my lineup, but I just now thought of this. But there was a story that we reported on where a pastor lost his entire family in a house fire. I believe it was in Mississippi. A large family, all of them died. And if I'm not mistaken, I stand to be corrected because I didn't pull this up, so I don't have it right up in front of me. And this is live, so I'm not going to, you know, dig through archives to try to find this. But I stand to be corrected, but I'm pretty sure that He was the only one that survived, and his whole family was killed in a tragic fire. Again, I can't imagine the heartache and the pain that these individuals are going through. So please keep these individuals in your prayers. Now, we got to move on today, guys. We've got a lot of stories to cover. The Chinese president, Kai, there has called for draconian measures to control the internet in order to maintain social stability. I'm gonna read this. According to sources there, China is struggling to contain the spreading of the coronavirus, which we know now that the epicenter of this, ground zero, is there in Wuhan. And now there is a large, vast of sources now that are reporting that this virus could have originated in a laboratory. They're saying now that the patient zero, or the initial cause of this, was a scientist that was experimenting with this virus, that was infected, and a bat was infected with this. The bat urinated and scratched one of the individuals there, and then it just kind of dominoed effect out of that. That's just one of many speculations, one of many sources, one of many stories that are circulating about this. But nevertheless, in a coordinated effort to try to control this coronavirus, President Kai there in China has called for draconian measures to control online dialogue and increase policing to ensure, quote, positive energy and social stability. And this comes according to the Chinese state media. Again, the epidemic has killed somewhere between 1,500 to over that, at least 66,000 infected across the country. Numbers are probably much higher than that. But we know the social unrest. Listen, social unrest started after was happening because of this coronavirus, and because many whistleblowers were silenced. They were removed. They were made to disappear. But we know before all that happened, remember, guys, we were discussing this off camera and off being recorded, but we were having this discussion. I was having this discussion with some other individuals, and I said it's very interesting to me that there was total unrest. There was an uprising in China with there was social unrest and social uprising among the people. Remember this? And they were trying to squash that and silence that. And they were doing all kinds of measures to try to silence protests and uprisings and unrest. And then all of a sudden, conveniently, this virus began to explode. And now the streets that were flooded with protesters now look like ghost towns. Very interesting to me. So we have this news going on. Then you would think in the midst of all this that the Chinese authorities would kind of let up a little bit on their increased persecution against Christians and those of other faith, not just Christians. I don't want to isolate just one faith here, but we're talking about other faiths as well. It's not just Christianity. Some people, I hear other people reporting this and they're like, well, it's just Christians being attacked. No, it's other faiths as well, not just Christians. But we hear more about Christians being attacked, but there's other faiths as well. But a new report, again, you would think that the persecution would kind of die out, but no, more Bibles. Let me give you this report. A new report is revealing that Bibles have been confiscated in China as crackdowns continue against Christianity. The Bible was said to be removed as a result of an ongoing campaign to, quote, eradicate pornography and illegal publications. Chinese government officials have begun seizing unlicensed religious material, which includes, you guessed it, Bibles. The report indicated that police recently raided a house church meeting confiscating anything they deemed to be pirated, which, according to reports, were several boxes of Bibles, hymns, and other religious literature that was found inside this home church. Even more terrifying is the report that Chinese officials also logged, listen to this, guys, the personal information of all the congregation members that were present during the operation. So, every individual that was there present at that home group church meeting, not only were hymnals confiscated, Bibles confiscated, or any other, quote, illegal publications or pirated material confiscated, everyone that was present, their personal information was logged, which we already knew that anyway, because China has already implemented this social grading system, which that has been going on for some time now, where the entire society of China is under a social grading scale system, in which as long as you confide with the government of the communist regime of China, as long as you don't buck against the system, you don't complain, you do what you're told, then things will be well with you. But if you speak out, you complain, you grumble, you murmur, you get on the internet, which, by the way, is impossible there because they had the whole thing on lockdown. There is ways around it because hackers and different ones are using different servers and whatnot, and they're getting out and they're leaking out information. But I'm talking about as the majority of the populace there, they're under strict surveillance. Everything they do, everything that they say, everywhere that they go, it is monitored. It's under surveillance. How do you think these underground churches and these home meetings are being raided? Because a lot of these churches are underground, guys. It's not like they're gathering in local congregations like we do in America and you do probably in your country. These are off-grid, but they're finding them because of these draconian measures that's being implemented. According to Bitter Winter, which is one of many sources there that's revealing this information, it's also been reported that China has also put in position a very ruthless overseer who's been known to enter into churches and houses of worship and different gatherings and rip down churches, gather church members, imprison them, and persecute them. The president there has just given the measures, given the okay, and put this individual into position. And you say, where are you going with this? Now, it's interesting that all this has been happening. I want to take you on a little bit of a journey with me just for a moment. I want to take you back historically to a time when there was a group, there was millions of individuals called the Children of Israel, and they were in captivity and hard bondage and control. Hello? Under a group called the Egyptians, under a man by the name of... It was given a title, it wasn't his name, but he was under the title of Pharaoh. This was during the time of Moses. The children of Israel were being held in captivity, bondage, and persecution. And this went on for 400 years, if you can even fathom that. And they were, during this time, they were crying out for deliverance. They were crying out for freedom. They were crying out for a reprieve. They were crying out for a deliverer that would be raised up to lead them out of captivity. And it just so happened that God raised up a man by the name of Moses, who was raised up in the midst of persecution, in the midst of tyranny over these people. And God himself anointed Moses, equipped him, raised him up, led him into, listen to me, right into Egypt, wherein which Moses, in the name of the Lord, gave a decree to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And we all know the story. Pharaoh would not agree to letting the people go. Instead of letting the people go, instead of giving the people freedom to worship, are you listening to me? Instead of giving them freedom to worship as they desired, he instead, read it in your Bible in the book of Exodus, he doubled the workload. He made it even more harsh persecution against them. The tyranny became even more burdensome. And as a result of this, it angered the Lord God. And I'm going to shorten this for time's sake, but God poured out 10 plagues. I said 10 plagues that were unleashed upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And don't miss it, the plagues were on the account of the people of God that were there in Egypt. When the people of God that were in Egypt were being persecuted, being tortured, and being severely beaten, and God only knows what, God sat back and put up with it for a time. He put up for it for a season. But when the fullness of time had come, when the iniquity had reached its breaking point and reached its fullness, when the cup became full, God raised up a man, a prophet, who warned the people and warned the leadership, if you do not stop what you're doing and let the people go, there is going to come judgment upon you. Now, I find it's interesting that I just reported, and again, I could have went through archives of persecution. I could have talked about how the president of China has been going into, with his enforcements, has been going into churches all across China and ripping down crosses, ripping down pictures of Jesus, ripping down Christian paraphernalia and replacing them with his own picture, replacing him with his own image, replacing hymnals, replacing Bibles, and replacing it with communist materials. I could have talked about that for the next hour. So this has not been going on over the past 1 hour, 2 hours, 24 hours, or 2 days, or 7 days. This has been going on for years and years and years. Now it's interesting that all of a sudden a plague called the coronavirus has broken out in the epicenter, or the ground zero was China. And then, guys, listen to this. This is a breaking news report. This is a breaking news. We received the report today, and we shared this on our main website, End Time Headlines. The apocalyptic locust swarm that has recently devoured millions of acres of crops across East Africa, destroying food supplies across Kenya, Somalia, Ethiopia, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Pakistan, has now reportedly reached the Chinese border. After crossing the Red Sea into Europe and Asia in recent days, making this now two plagues that we know of that are simultaneously taking place as you and I are sitting here right now. These two plagues are happening right now in China. As if the coronavirus outbreak wasn't enough to deal with, now the nation is dealing with billions of locusts that have been described as the worst plague in decades, now has reached the border of China. Now, of course, according to the Daily Star, footage has surfaced showing thousands of these locusts reaching the border of China. And of course, China has reportedly tried to downplay the severity of the locust swarms reaching the country, claiming their, quote, modern technology and sufficient stocks, which have not been seen in Africa, will prevent any widespread damage. So this is nothing new. They downplay the severity of anything that goes on there. That's the whole point of implementing draconian measures, is to keep panic at a minimum, to keep any information from circulating out. So this is absolutely, this will leave people speechless. When I saw this, I was blown away. So you could take it and do what you want with it. I'm just telling you, to those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, or those who understand the times and seasons in which we're in, and they can discern these things, this is beyond interesting. Now, speaking of interesting, this has been going on for years, but recently what is being described as, quote, mysterious mechanical groaning noises has startled many residents recently in Anchorage, Alaska. According to local reports, the mysterious sounds began around 5 a.m. Last week on Monday, which is described as a loud sound that moved through parts of Anchorage. Again, this has been going on for years. In fact, we've got a video of this that we put on our main website under this article at endtimeheadlines.org. You can hear that noise. You can go on YouTube. There's many YouTube videos of people that has uploaded videos, and you can hear this noise. And it's, again, it varies in the way it sounds and the descriptions in the way it sounds. Some people describe it as, again, a mysterious mechanical groaning. Some people said it sounds like a real extreme heavy piece of furniture that's being scraped across a floor. Some describe this as trumpet blast, but nevertheless, this sound was heard from Midtown to West Anchorage, from Spinard, to the Old Stewart Highway. Locals claim they heard it once, while others say they repeatedly heard it for hours. And some of them said it abruptly woke them from their sleep. One resident said the quote, "It's almost like a foghorn and a screeching metal on metal." One local resident, Anchorage, Melissa Thompson, said, quote, "Every time I tell somebody about it, I say it sounds like a submarine scraping the bottom of a pool or something." One other individual said, quote, "I would say it sounded like underwater moaning." So again, what is this? There's many speculations of what this is. Is it the earth in travail, Romans 8? Is it the, again, birth pangs of the Messiah? Is this fracking? Is this fault line shifting? Platelets shifting? What is this? Again, I'll let you decide on that. We're going to report that. And then there will be, remember in Luke 21:11, there will be great and fearful sights and great signs from heaven, is what Jesus said. Well, residents in Malaysia and Singapore saw this very thing as eyewitnesses took to the internet. They took to social media and they reported a large, stunning fireball. I don't know if you guys saw this. Again, we have video of that we put on endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. This thing, it's a dash cam. They're driving up the road and you can see this huge fireball that comes into the picture. Pretty stunning image there. Again, this is reported. Eyewitnesses saw this, and there was, again, there was video again of that was located up. Now I've got another article here, but I want to shove this over because I want to report this last. Let's talk here. We'll move this over too because I want to put this here. We're just kind of archiving things here. A volcano in Indonesia. One of the most active volcanoes in Indonesia just experienced its most powerful eruption in 90 years. Almost in nearly 100 years, this was the most powerful eruption. Mount Merapi, I believe that's how you pronounce that, in Indonesia, just experienced its most powerful eruption since 1930. Okay, 1930. According to reports, this eruption was Merapi's most powerful eruption since 1930, and that eruption resulted in 1,300 people being killed. Again, this was in Indonesia. Again, we talked about this, guys. Joel chapter 2. Talks about one of the signs of the end times. One of the signs of the coming of the Lord would be volcanic eruptions that would take place around the world, resulting in blood, fire and pillars of smoke, the moon turning into blood, and the sun being darkened out by what many believe is eruptions of these volcanoes and the volcanic ash emitting and going up. I mean, some of these, I mean, the eruption of these volcanoes, the ash cloud going up goes up. We're talking 2,000 meters into the air. Some of these go as high as 20,000. I mean, we're talking 20,000 feet in the air. That's as high as airplanes, commercial airliners get into the sky. So this is extraordinary, guys. All right, Mississippi. Do I've got any Mississippi viewers on Facebook Live, on YouTube, on podcasts? You guys already probably know about this, but forecasters are warning Mississippi residents, at least in, I believe, in Jackson, Mississippi, we know of, to brace yourselves for what could potentially be one of the most devastating floods in the state's history. Now, again, people on social media, they make comments and they're like, well, they say this every year. Well, hello, that should be a testament there. The fact that we have to report every single year that an historical event, an historical weather event is taking place in a state should be another indicator of just where we are and the signs of the coming of the Lord. When it becomes normal that we have record-breaking or historical weather events, you know that something apocalyptic is happening. Are you listening? Again, the warning comes as days of heavy downpours have stoked fears that a river in the state capital of Jackson will continue to swell beyond its banks, threatening homes of thousands of locals. According to a local affiliate that reported, flooding has already begun to ripple across parts of Jackson and surrounding areas, and state and federal officials are working to contain the severity of the flooding in the face of additional rainfall expected in the days ahead. So again, you guys in Mississippi, you need to be paying attention to this. Make every precautions you can to prepare yourself for what may come. We pray that no more rain comes. We don't want that. We don't want these things to happen, guys. We want people to be safe. We want people to not be harmed by this. But again, we're talking about historical events here. As the coronavirus is spreading, houses of worship across the world are banning handshakes, hugs, and close proximities of social interaction with people in houses of worship. Some services have been canceled altogether. I expect this, if this thing continues to go like a lot of people are expecting it to, and a lot of experts are expecting it to, then this is going to be a normal. This won't be just outside of America, but I expect places in America that are going to be doing this exact same thing. They're going to be restricting interaction with people within the church, whether it be handshakes, whether it be hugs, whether it be social interacting. You're going to see less and less people probably going to churches, going to local sporting events. In fact, a Japanese health minister came out and advised. Now think about this, guys, advise citizens to not get into public interaction, like commuter trains and this and that. Japan, do you know how many people are in Japan? And to make an announcement like that is unprecedented. So this is, again, the level of severity that we're talking about this. And then that leads me to the last thing that I want to report on tonight. And that is thousands are gathering in Israel at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. I thought this was very interesting. In efforts to intercede and pray against the coronavirus. Again, in a coordinated effort, in a one mind, one accord, joint effort. According to a report out of Israel, the prayer session is being orchestrated and led by a chief rabbi who is the president of the Rabbinical Community Association, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce this rabbi's name, but it's in partnership with OU Israel and its rabbi, Avi Berman, and the Rabbinical Community Association. Again, they're calling for prayer at the Wailing Wall. This was on Sunday night. I don't know how many, we don't have any reports or updates on how many actually showed up, but they would begin to pray and begin to read portions of the Book of Psalms and other evening prayers as they would gather to bind and intercede this against this coronavirus. Now, when I was putting this article together, I couldn't help but to remember, because when I saw that it was Psalms, and I'm gonna end with this, and I couldn't help but to remember a psalm, a very popular and powerful psalm out of Psalms 91 verses 3-8 that goes right along with this. And this, and I pray this prayer, and I want to encourage you, write this down. Put it on a sticky note on your refrigerator. Put it in your Bible. Highlight it in your Bible. Pray over this. Recite this. Believe this. Decree this every single day over your family, over your neighbors, over your workforce, every single day if you have to. But it's Psalms 91 verses 31. I'm sorry, Psalm 91 verses 3-8. And this is what it says. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. In fact, I pray this over every person on the sound of my voice on YouTube, podcast, and Facebook. I make this a prayer tonight. I declare that you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lies waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Again, that's Psalms 91 verses 3-8. And again, this has been End Time Headlines. Again, giving you our this podcast, YouTube segment, this Facebook Live prophetic update on this Monday evening. We pray that you've been blessed by this update. I pray, guys, listen, if you would like more, if you'd like to know more about our ministry and more information, you can go on Facebook Live. There's a link right there under the description. You can click on that link, and it'll give you more information on how you can go to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can click on that link, and you're going to see a place where you can subscribe to a daily digest. Guys, if you have not yet, if you have an Android phone or a tablet, and you've not yet downloaded our official ETH app, I want to encourage you to do that. It's free. It's absolutely free. There's no charge. Download the app. You can get breaking news notifications as they come. It's right there in the convenience of your hand or on your tablet. It's very, very user-friendly and interactive that you can go with that. Again, this is coming soon. It's not yet, but it will be available on iOS. It is not yet available, but we're working on that, and we're going to get that done as soon as possible. And again, as always, we want to encourage you, if this ministry continues to inform you, bless you, encourage you, and equip you on a weekly basis, we ask that you would be obedient to the Holy Spirit. If he puts it upon your heart to partner with us, support us, or sow a one-time gift to this ministry as a gift of appreciation to help us to remain strong in 2020. Guys, we don't charge you for any of these messages. No, there's no charge of the podcast, no charge to the app, to the app. There's no charge of subscription fees. There's no merchandise, no books, no CDs, no DVDs, no paid subscriptions, none of that. It's all free. All we ask is that the Lord would put it upon the hearts of those, and that could be you. If the Lord's blessed you by this ministry, and it's informed you, equipped you, it's helped, through the years, we ask that you would be obedient to the Holy Spirit and do that. Listen, guys, before we sign off, we're going to take a break tomorrow, and we're going to be back on. Listen, I have a devotional word that I want to. Wednesdays are a devotional word. So Wednesday, if you like preaching and teaching and equipping, come on here on Wednesday. We'll go live just like this. And I've got a devotional word that I got on Saturday night. And I want to, and it's a timely word. And it's dealing right with what we're dealing with and what we're seeing in these headlines. I want to give you an encouraging, equipping word this Wednesday, and it's a devotional word, and we're going to pray together. We're going to be equipped, and I believe you're going to be blessed by it. So until then, I want to say good night. God bless. May the Lord keep you, bless you. May his countenance shine upon you. May his angels be with you and protect you in your coming in and going out forevermore in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. We'll see you Wednesday.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.